Hey, welcome to The Issue with Dan Corder. We have an exclusive interview with a very, very interesting person today that goes to the heart of one of the big newnesses, one of the big evolutions, and one of the big experiments of this seemingly pivotal upcoming national general election at the end of May 2024. Before then, though, I'm so sorry. I know that we weren't here last week on Monday or Thursday. Thank you for your comments of concern, your tweets, your outrage, your TikTok saying, where is Dan? Where is the team? Where is the issue? There's a hole in my heart and a weird off-holidness about my Mondays and Thursdays. Yes, we weren't here and we're sorry about that. We have been working flat out on something really potentially exciting if it happens. Can't talk about it yet, but we had to do some hard and brutal prioritizing last week. So we're here. We are ready for this episode today. I really enjoyed doing this episode. We squeezed it in this weekend when I was in Cape Town. And hopefully we'll be able to give you some news later this week. Maybe by the Thursday episode, we'll be able to tell you what's up. But it's a really extraordinary time, and last week was a hot mess, and we had to deal with some things. We had to do some things. So hopefully, I don't like giving a cliffhanger, but in this case, I needed to explain, but also couldn't tell you many or any specifics. So just maybe Thursday. Let's talk about this wonderful interview that we have for you. So for the first time in South Africa's entire history, individual people, independent candidates will be able to run and will be running in the 2024 election. You'll be able to vote for a person rather than a party if you choose to. And that person you vote for, if they get enough votes, could go all the way to parliament as a member of parliament in the biggest of leagues in South African politics. Individual candidates weren't allowed to run on their own before, and then South Africa's laws were changed through a bunch of legal challenges and court agreements with the legal challenges in the last few years, meaning that the Constitutional Court and others at least see as more in line with what the Constitution wants for how the country should be run, which essentially means that if you want to get to parliament these days, now for the first time, you don't have to join a party and then campaign for the party and then hope the party gets enough votes to get into parliament. And then with the seats that party is given, if they do get into parliament, you don't have to hope that you are one of the chosen ones from within that party who gets chosen to actually go to parliament. None of that. You can just run on your own as yourself. And that has launched a massive debate. We've already had these debates since the beginning of time, particularly in this election cycle, about small parties, new parties that are small and we don't know how they're going to do. We wondered to ourselves, are they worth our vote? If they're not going to get that many votes, does that mean my vote for them, gives power to a weak group or a weak representation and means that my vote means less and my voice can't go as far and my power will do less powerful things, won't be able to go as far and do as much? That debate always exists in democracies, and there are arguments for that idea and against it. I'm personally against it. I think you need to vote for exactly who represents you best, because if you never do that, that representation of your exact beliefs and what you want for the country will never get into parliament in the first place. And if everybody thought to themselves, oh, I won't vote for a new smaller party because they are new and small now, then you will never get any new ideas in politics and you'll never get closer to the vision of what you want for South Africa. That's my two cents. But the even more extreme argument now is about individual candidates, because if an individual candidate gets enough votes to get into government, become a parliamentarian, it doesn't matter how many votes they get beyond that seat that they get, they will only have one seat. And so there is a great concern and idea, mainly peddled by bigger parties who don't want to lose your vote to new individual candidates, independent candidates, people, that you would be wasting your vote. And even if you're, representative, even if that individual person did get into parliament, what can they actually do? They're not part of a party. They can't, through party decree, enforce the acting in a certain way, voting for a certain bill, voting against somebody else. It's just one person. What can that person really do? But the counter argument is that you need individuals who are free of party political lines, free of the control that parties hold over their members sometimes, to make hay, to cause some cuck, to really light fires under the comfortable, the placid, the corrupt, the ignorant, the uncaring politicians who are in parliament in South Africa right now. And so maybe an individual person, untethered by any of those kind of party dynamics, can go and actually make a real difference. And so they're independent candidates this election. It's the first time South Africa's ever done it. It feels like a massive democratic experiment. And when people think about individual candidates, independent candidates, the person they think is most likely to get into parliament is Zaki Ahmed. He has become essentially the face of this possibility. He is running as an independent, absolutely on his own, as an individual, and asking people to vote for him. And he needs lots of votes, to be clear. It's very, very hard for anybody to get into Parliament, even as a party raising a lot of money, collecting a lot of resources, you need to get tens of thousands and thousands of votes depending on where you're running from and in what area you're running in. And that costs millions and millions of rands that individual people, unless they are sickeningly rich, can't just, you know, go to their bank account for. They need to find ways to raise that money. And that's hard when it's just you and maybe a small campaign team, partially built up of volunteers who are just trying to help you keep going and be competitive. But Zaki Ahmad has got a lot of attention and a lot of support. And so we sat down with a special exclusive interview with him. He's already a legend, right? He's an absolute legend of social justice. He's dedicated his whole life for fighting for those voiceless or disempowered or marginalized people in society. He was part of the creation of the Treatment Action Campaign. He's worked for Equal Education, Difuna Ukhwazi, Unite Behind, all of these. This just laundry list of the most important, impactful social justice movements that have helped people gain their rights, keep their rights protected, and hold government to account when it's not behaving properly. So Zaki has got an impeccable track record, but now he wants to be a parliamentarian, he wants to be a politician, an MP, and he wants to go and make some hay on behalf of the people, he says. So, in this exclusive interview on The Issue with Dan Korder, we sat down with Zaki Ahmad and we asked him, what is he going to do if he gets into Parliament? Who or what values is he standing for? What values are he standing for? Who is he standing for? What values are he standing for? There we go, Dan. English came very slow there. And we also asked him, what is the point of being an independent candidate? Of voting for an independent candidate? Of having independent candidates? Love to hear what you think. Here's our exclusive with Zaki Ahmad. Zaki Ahmad, thank you so much for your time. You are, as far as the mainstream media, but also anybody I've spoken to across the country, you are the only independent candidate in the first year where independent candidates can run for public office and even the highest levels of parliament as an MP. You're the only one running who anybody is talking about. In fact, when people think about independent candidacies, they think, oh, that's the thing Zaki Ahmad is doing. Why is it so significant that individual people can run for positions of power in South Africa now?
Our constitution guarantees people, before I take myself too seriously, this is like the last thing on earth I wanted to do. So the constitution guarantees two things that are critical for democracy: participatory democracy, allowing people to participate in democracy between elections, not for elections, and participatory governance. And participatory governance is you help the city council understand what the needs are, or you oppose it.
Sure.
And so that is important. For me, the reason I'm standing is because 29% of people in 2021 believe that they could trust political parties.
Yeah.
29%. It's not a local phenomenon, it's a global phenomenon, because in Britain it is 12%.
Wow.
Right? So representative democracy is in deep crisis across the world. You have authoritarianism from Modi, Trump, Bolsonaro, across our continent, Uganda, Museveni, and so on. So parties have played a major role in that disaffection,
yeah,
of the mass of people, working class, rural, and so on. So for me, I've only ever belonged to the ANC and the Marxist Workers' Tendency of the ANC. I've not belonged to any other party. And quite frankly, I think the ANC never democratized itself. And most of the other parties aren't democratic. So if I go to Parliament, I have two connections, two things that I have to fulfill. One is represent the people, all the people in the country, but specifically the people who elected me. Secondly, I only have the constitution to guide me.
Sure.
I don't have a political party to tell me what to do. And I believe that all MPs should act in that way, even if they belong to a political party.
For sure.
We cannot get rid of political parties. That's how many people want to be represented, their interests collectively, and so on. But for me, it's about building a movement at the same time, so that I'm opening the door for people like you. I'd like to see you in Parliament, in the Cultural Committee.
It's extremely kind.
Doing a podcast all the time in the committee. I want to open the door for other people to get into Parliament.
Sure.
But there are huge obstacles, but we can talk about the obstacles later.
Yeah, so I'm now going to give you, I don't know if you have LinkedIn. I hope you don't. But
I think I have one.
But I'm going
I've never used it really.
I'm going to give, in fact, I think kids are now using ChatGPT, but when I was in university, it was Spark Notes. If you didn't have time to read the whole book that you had to write a test on, you would read the summary.
Right.
So I'm going to give the Spark Notes of Zaki Ahmad.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to let you describe yourself in relation to that. And I'm sure I'll miss things and you must tell me off. Just so people who've not heard of you will know.
Which are a lot of people, by the way. Especially people over under 40.
But there are many people, there are enough people that know you that you are a serious candidate for the independent seat, the only, well, the first person to probably do so in South Africa. So Zaki Ahmad, you were born and raised in Johannesburg, you just told me, although between Johannesburg and Cape Town.
That's right, mainly in Cape Town.
Let's make this a dialogue so I don't fuck it up.
mainly in Cape Town.
You have always been part of a variety of different movements trying to get social justice. You were a sex worker for a while.
Absolutely.
You remain HIV positive, and so a massive part of your campaigning work has been with the Treatment Action Campaign, where a lot of people know you from, which was an extraordinary movement. And it must have been very interesting for you, because the Treatment Action Campaign in the 2000s existed to get people ARVs and to force the government, which is an ANC government, which would have been very interesting for you as a card-carrying ANC member, to force them to take the crisis seriously, to help people. You've also worked on equal education, which is incredibly important. You're in the Marxist wing of the ANC. And now you are this iconic, I would say, activist of struggle. So not a struggle activist, although you were one against apartheid, but struggling for the injustices, against the injustices that exist across South Africa for a variety of different people. What did I miss or get wrong?
Well, first, that I'm queer.
Mm.
Atheist, and I regard myself still as a socialist,
okay.
Although I'm much more of a social democrat, but everyone describes themselves as social democratic still. For me, the critical thing to know about me politically, what you need to know about me politically, you don't know me unless you know the movements that I've worked in.
For sure.
So if you want to know my politics and to know me politically, you have to know the movements that I'm working. And right now, as an independent candidate, the movements that I'm helping to build. I love Foucault.
Oh, good.
I love Trotsky.
Excellent.
I love Pablo Neruda's poetry and García Lorca. I just did the bad thing. Instead of saying García Lorca, which is Latino, I said García Lorca. Very bad. So I love poetry. And until the campaign, or just a little bit before it, I couldn't go to sleep at night without reading a poem.
Wow.
Whether it's Wole Soyinka, whether it is, Eugene Marais,
sure.
Whether it's Mary, what's her name? Ingrid Jonker, a whole range of poets. So those are the things that people don't know about me.
Okay. Well, excellent. Now, your campaign is essentially trying to get you into Parliament as an independent candidate. But there have been many people who've coalesced around you to try and support your candidacy. You've got this, frankly, unbelievably beautiful iconography. It says equality for all. Can I just ask, when you think about the NGOs, the NPOs, and the social justice organizations that you want to be judged by in terms of who you've represented, what are the key ones? So Treatment Action Campaign is about health and access to healthcare. Equal Education about access to education. What
right.
others?
The Social Justice Coalition, mm-hmm. which was about informal settlements and safety. And then Difuna Kwazi, which was
access to information,
which was about access to information, but particularly about urban land justice. And you might not know this, but I've helped organize occupations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I also think the National Coalition for Gay and Lesbian Equality was central to my work at the beginning of 1994. I was the first opponent in a civil society organization or a coalition that sued the ANC government for the decriminalization of
sodomy. As a card-carrying
member. As a card, of course,
wow,
of course,
amazing.
Of course.
Okay.
I sincerely believe that if you're a member of the political party and the political party in government acts improperly, you have a duty to act on your conscience or on the basis of the Constitution.
Sure. So you are what people in the establishment call annoying. What do you think you could do in Parliament as an independent candidate that currently doesn't exist in Parliament?
This is critical. As I mentioned, participatory democracy is essential. Now, who's your constituency MP at the moment?
I have no idea.
Do you know that one exists for you?
I do abstractly.
All right. So political parties have allocated, Parliament has allocated constituencies to more than 350 MPs. They get money to run those constituency offices. Every Monday morning, they should report to their constituency offices and work with their constituents. Most people in the country, I think almost everybody, don't know their name, the name of the MP.
They might abstractly know which party rules their area.
Yeah, yeah. They know which party. Every political party in Parliament currently, and people who were in Parliament before, MPs, leaders of parties, they know that they abused, irregularly spent their constituency allowances on running their political parties, not serving constituents. So my duty is, part of what I'm doing is building a movement. So we've got an Amateur Chombe Forum, which is independent of the campaign, but which the campaign now supports.
Sure.
A Disability Activist Forum, Queer Revolution. I signed a contract with the Queer Revolution last night. Youth in Action, who has the best slogan, "We are not the future, we are now." So from where I'm sitting, the people who are supporting me are neighborhood watchers, people in community kitchens and so on. The ability that an independent MP has to bring those people's voices into Parliament, to say to a Parliament, you have to listen to Boniswa Silinga, who's legs are about to be amputated, who cannot get into a wheelchair because her shack is narrow, and she's been sitting in Kiki, an informal settlement, since 1993.
Yeah.
So for Parliament to hear her voice is critical. And that was what was great about the first Parliament, that the first Parliament brought people in. It asked, it ring you up, the MPs would ring you up and say, Zaki, can you bring people who can talk about employment equity or the Medical Schemes Act or about HIV? Or this was 1994, up to 1999. They would say, do you know a progressive expert that we can listen to?
Yeah.
Right? So suddenly you had a parliament that linked itself to people. And because it was also the period of the Constituent Assembly that wrote the final constitution, MPs went to their communities. In that way, I would like to work in that way, but I also have a different example. Helen Suzman. She almost dressed like Jackie Onassis, but not quite. So I wouldn't follow her clothing advice. But imagine this. You're the only woman, you're Jewish, in a parliament of Christelijke Nationale Mannen. Who are all over 50.
Yeah.
50 was their youth league age.
It's not dissimilar to the ANC?
Of course. No, the ANC looks like it's going to 60.
Yeah, just the other day, in a country where the median age is 27, Gwede Mantashe described Fikile Mbalula as newer to politics, and he's like 55, 6.
Let's not go to those two gentlemen.
Besides the point.
Right. It's a very serious point. So if I look back on that period and I look what happened immediately afterwards, the minute Mbeki came to power, he sent that thug, Isopahad, to be the minister in the presidency and to rule the caucus of the ANC. Mbeki established a newsletter called ANC Today. There are two points I'd like to make about that newsletter. The first issue dealt with the arms deal. Now, who was opposing the arms deal at that time? Most of his party. the Communist Party, COSATU, the churches, all of us were opposing the arms deal. He gets rid of Judge Heath. Turns out that it was right that the judge shouldn't be doing that job. But he says anyone who says the arms deal is corrupt is a racist who doesn't believe that black people can govern, who believes that if black people govern, they are corrupt. And with that, he silenced Andrew Feinstein, Prex Govender, Barbara Hogan, and most of the ANC caucus.
Mm.
And so you have that moment, and then you have the moment where Parliament's worst action linked now to state capture is that it allowed hundreds of thousands of people to die and millions of people to become infected with HIV and millions to get sick with AIDS-related illnesses. When Parliament would cheer when Mbeki said, a virus can't cause a syndrome.
Yeah.
And HIV is a virus, it can't cause a syndrome. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to read. So at that point, those two things linked together with Hitachi.
Mm.
The deal to build Kusile and Medupi. Those deals sealed the independent role that MPs had in Parliament to hold the executive accountable. And from there, it was downhill to Fikile saying, we turned a swimming pool into a fire pool. We instructed our MPs to do it.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah.
They did.
They even went there and pretended.
Harry Potter. Right?
That's true. That's true.
So here we have a situation now. You had Helen Suzman. What did she do when she was in the apartheid parliament? She did the following. She served on the Justice Committee. She made sure that everyone knew who was being detained. Everyone knew how many people were being detained for pass laws or not convicted for pass laws. These are the things she made known. I don't share her politics at all.
Mm.
But she was a lone MP who did phenomenal work. So the question is not that I will be alone, because I will work with other MPs, I will work with movements. Julius Malema said, on the other hand, I hear Zaki Ahmed is coming to Parliament. Let him come. He will find it boring.
Sure. Sure.
We have 44 superior intellects and we can't change Parliament's views. Now, this is not true. Because I love boring works. My ex-husband, one of the reasons he divorced me was because I prefer reading judgments in bed at night than cuddling. Right? Now, I love boring work. I can read 200,000 pages on an issue like I've done with Prasa recently over the last 7 years. Love it. I love detail. So for me to work in a committee collegially with anyone who wishes to pass a piece of legislation that is good, I can do that.
Sure.
I love the boring work. As much as you think I'm a drama queen on television everywhere, on going to prison here, sitting in there, organizing an occupation.
Sure.
For me, it's the hard work of education, research, and studying.
Yeah, yeah. So on your website, you describe a couple of committees you'd love to work in. A couple of them are finance committees so that you can oversee the way that government expends money. A lot of people in South Africa say, we don't have too little money. The tax revenue service had a few rough years, but is largely fine, and we have enough money. It's fruitless and wasteful and corrupt expenditure that is a problem in South Africa. But there are a lot of people who talk about, in fact, they don't even talk about independence like this. They talk about tiny parties as a wasted vote.
Yeah.
And I think independence, an even more extreme version of that. I really want to know, and I'm sure everybody wants to know, specifically, what can you do alone in Parliament? Can you guarantee getting on a committee? Can you guarantee that you will be able to speak in Parliament and shout on TV at the bad people? Can you make your presence felt? Because for all of South Africa, we've never seen an independent candidate. So we don't even realistically know what you can promise. I know you say you don't make promises on your website, but like, what can you definitely
what
do?
What I'm going to do.
What are you definitely
going to
do?
I'm going to do.
Okay.
In the first month that I get into Parliament, I'm going to revive the amendment to the liquor bill. And that amendment, if we think of Enyo Benny and what happened in East London, the largest substance use disorder in our country is alcoholism. And it causes most of the violence, it causes most of the car crashes, the stabbings, anything you wish to, domestic violence on a large scale.
For sure.
So for me, the fact that that amendment that says ban alcohol advertising, I'm sorry, your podcast is not going to get lager.
I'm
teasing
you. They don't want to talk to. We're not fun. We don't have enough rugby.
Exactly. Exactly. So for me, the critical question is the banning of advertising everywhere related to alcohol. Secondly, the fact that people shouldn't sell alcohol in the vicinity of schools.
Yeah.
All the political parties have let that amendment, which they all agreed on, languish for the last 8 years.
Okay.
So that's the first thing I'm going to do. I cannot guarantee that I can serve on any committee. But a member of parliament has the right to go to any committee.
Sure.
And you have the right to ask questions in those committees and contribute to the discussion. You're just not allowed to vote.
For sure. But you can get busy.
But critically, what I want to do is study, let's say, the Prasa report, because fixing the state is critical to what I believe we all need to do. Let's say Prasa audited report comes out. The first thing I would do is go and study it with people in Unite Behind and any commuter organization and anyone who wishes to do it so that I can hear what people think about it. And then go to the committee, sure, ask people to come. So that's the type of work I want to do in Parliament.
For sure.
The other problem of Parliament's, of being an independent in Parliament that people often raise is, can you change policy? First, I'm not joining a government.
Mm.
So I don't need to have a manifesto. I have a little mini-festo, right? And that mini-festo, it relates to fixing the state. I commit to working on SCOPA if I can. That's the Standing Committee on Public Accounts that check where all our money is going,
sure,
how it's being spent. On that committee, I want to focus on commuter rail services. Right now, you know that Unite Behind, which I helped co-found with Zuki Vuka and many other people, we've, for the last 7 years, been to court against Prasa for 10 years.
Yeah.
We, for 10 times. We're in court right now against Parliament. In fact, the Speaker was cited in one of our cases.
Oh, she's gone now.
What a pity. I would have liked to see her affidavit. But it's right that she's gone. If I said to you these names, Roy Moodley,
mm-hmm,
Mario Ferreira, Vosloo Ismania, Makenza Mabunda,
mm-hmm,
Ozol Mashaba, I did say Sifiso Buthelezi, I can name a lot more. What does that bring to you?
I actually only recognize Roy Moodley's name.
Which one?
Roy Moodley.
Roy Moodley.
Yeah.
Right. Now, Sifiso Buthelezi is the chair of the Standing Committee on Appropriations. There's an architecture of three committees. Finance, which sets the whole architecture of banks,
sure,
and state expenditure and so on. Then you have the Standing Committee of Appropriations, which I think is one of the most important parliamentary committees because it looks at where budgets should be allocated.
Sure.
The last one is the Standing Committee on Public Accounts that checks where the money's gone. He chairs that committee, but what is his history? He destroyed Robben Island.
Sure.
He was Zuma's economic advisor when Zuma was MEC for economic development in KZN. He then became a board member of the South African Rail Commuter Corporation. He then became the first chairperson and served the longest as chairperson of Prasa.
Sure. People fall up.
He has milked Prasa, and he's allowed the ANC to milk Prasa. He's allowed every corrupt crook locally and globally,
sure,
to steal.
Sure.
But the ANC and when Zuma did his nighttime cabinet shuffle.
Weekend special.
He accompanied Weekend Special to become deputy minister.
Interesting.
And he stayed there because Treasury was investigating him.
Okay.
For me, going to Parliament is to assist in fixing the state by exposing corruption and by looking at what can be done to fix it. I can't do that alone. Have to do it with a movement. Have to work with other MPs to do so. Second is focusing on SASSA. Why? Income security is a critical issue in the country, and every time a pensioner has to stand in the queue for 12 hours and then be told, come back tomorrow, she feels that her income is destroyed.
Sure.
Right? The third area for me is energy. Now, one great thing that Panyaza Lesufi did just before the election is he pushed City Power and the city of Joburg to finish a solar installation in Alex with a mini grid for 500 household informal settlement households. Now, what that shows is, I'm not talking about Eskom corruption, all that mess now, but that the city of Cape Town is spending a lot of money on ensuring energy solutions, that every metro should find ways to have those microgrids that connect people who are not connected to the grid and to take people, poor working class people, and give them access to electricity.
Sure.
That's something I want to champion.
Sure. Every single political organization and party says they want to fix South Africa, they want to root out corruption, and they want to solve the energy crisis. And I'm not criticizing you for wanting to fix those things, because those are obviously the things that we need to fix. But I wonder, for somebody considering who to vote for, because I know that specifically you'll be on the Western Cape regional ballot.
That's right.
So unfortunately for everybody who's just listened to you wax lyrical, poetical for 30 minutes, who's not in Cape Town, I'm sorry, if you
I'm
love
ready
Zaki,
to sleep.
Then maybe you won't be able to.
It's not waxing lyrical. It's a peroration.
I didn't attend class enough in university.
You didn't do English literature, right?
I did, but only
terrible.
Past, presently. So Zaki, what I want to know is this. You are going to be, assuming you get elected, a thorn in the side of everybody. And you're going to make it difficult for everybody in a way that they cannot control, because you will not be governed by the interrelations of agreements between parties. Why would any other politician, or indeed the party who has to approve of their behavior, choose to work with you?
I think having a movement outside will assist them to come to a good understanding of why we need to work together.
Sure.
Also, I think finding the right experts, like we did in HIV, like we did with urban land justice, bringing their voices into Parliament will assist people in changing their views. Last thing that comes is go to court to get it done, right? I'm not afraid to do that, but that should be the second last resort. The last resort is, of course, civil disobedience.
Mm.
But it should be the last resort, because we're overburdening our courts with policy issues.
Sure.
For me, the important thing, I will not directly go into a coalition, but I would love to have an agreement with a coalition that supports the rule of law, that is anti-corrupt and commits to enforcing anti-corruption laws, and to ensure that they act in the interest of the working class. Now, if such a coalition comes about with two or three, all three of those conditions, I would agree with them to keep them in power for 3 years.
Sure.
To have national stability. Because then what politicians are not telling you and not discussing is our country is on the verge of an incipient civil war. In KwaZulu-Natal,
for sure.
I lived through the 80s and 90s when someone couldn't get on the train in Soweto on the East Rand without imagining that they were going to be shot or hacked to death by the IFP. Now, at the moment, the ANC is fighting with the IFP and MK. The IFP is fighting with the ANC. Maybe they will fight with MK too. MK wants to fight the whole country.
Yep.
In the Western Cape, we have an even more, not an even more, we have a very dangerous system, a situation developing. It is the anti-colored, it's the anti-black African racism that is being encouraged within the colored community, of which I'm part. What is being done is the colored Congress is saying everyone who came here after 1994 from the Eastern Cape must be sent back.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that?
Yeah.
But it's whipping up the worst and basest instincts that we have. They're supported by the Freedom Front Plus.
Sure.
And they're supported by the Patriotic Alliance. So you have a hardcore of racists, supremacists, who want to replace white supremacy with colored supremacy. And the danger that we face is no political party that's standing in this election have taken on those people.
Sure.
For me, the only way to change the country is to build working class unity.
Yeah.
That's the only way to change
it. For sure. I hear you. So you say you're going to go to parliament. You need more than 80,000 votes. You're only going to be on the regional ballot in the Western Cape at large, yes?
Correct.
And one very sad thing about, well, there are many frustrating, difficult things about South Africa, but one of them that pains me is that our polling industry is rubbish. It's so small. It's so underfunded. There are not enough polling institutions or whatever, and some of them do some fine work. But when there's a lack of money and a lack of scrutiny and a lack of competition, many of the smaller parties and individuals don't show up on polling.
Exactly.
Which means that mainstream media, which follows the polling because they believe they must just talk about who people are talking about and care about, so they get the clicks and the views. They don't speak to the little people right. at all. So
and
we
neither do you, by the way.
Ah.
On your show, you need to get someone with disability. You
that's
need
true.
To get,
that is absolutely true.
You need to
true.
Get people who live in communities
I totally
so you
agree
can
with you.
In, have a discussion with them. Please don't forget to put this in.
No, I will put this in. We don't leave things out when people criticize me at all.
I love it.
Also, there's about to be a different show, which we'll have a different conversation about off air after this. But I completely agree with you. So now we actually have no idea how well you're going to do because right. there is no polling.
Right.
And it's very hard to trust anybody's hot takes on anything. But you need to get more than 80,000 votes.
Right.
And you reckon you're going to do it. I know that you've got incredible name power, actually. You've got bona fides.
It's not name power. Name power that's doing this work.
Okay.
It is.
This is what I want to hear.
It's the poorest people in informal settlements.
Sure.
It is queer activists. It's people living with disability. It is neighborhood watchers and women working in
communities. But you have inspired them to believe that this is worth their time through your credentials. So
that's right.
Maybe star power is the wrong word. But credentials of many decades making people believe, I'll stand with Zaki
yeah,
Ahmed.
Yeah. 30% of the people in my campaign are people who were 14, 15, 16-year-olds when they would join the Treatment Action Campaign.
Interesting.
Many of the younger people, not a lot, but quite a few, are children whose mothers took antiretrovirals and they didn't get HIV.
Interesting.
But they know of the battles that led to it.
Sure.
So that's very important to me. But the reason people in the Tigerberg district, which is Guguletu, Nyanga, Langa, Philippi, Lower Crossroads, then in the Khayelitsha district, and in the Tigerberg district, Elsie's River, Eerste Rivier, and so on, what people there want is knowledge.
Mm.
My campaign is not one where the great leader comes and makes a speech, shakes hands, kisses the babies, although I have to do that.
Mm.
Right?
Some babies are cute.
Have you ever seen babies when they're born?
I just did.
They're not very pretty. They're not very pretty.
Sure.
It's when they get to about 6 months
that's
and
true.
So that they're quite cute. But anyway, so people want knowledge.
Mm.
They want to know what's in Section 195 of the Constitution. What does a public service need to look like? Professional, ethical, open, accountable. That's what the Constitution wants.
Yeah.
People want to know how the Municipal Systems Act works and how councils need to treat them. They want to know about the Equality Act. They want to know the data of the budgets. Right now, the ANC is promising millions of jobs, but what it's doing, the EPWP in this city mm-hmm. has been cut by 60% by national government, and I'm sure it's happened across the country. Mm. The social development budget for the province has been cut by 620 million rand, leaving women's organizations, disabled people's organizations, children's organizations without money.
Sure.
So in a situation like that, people need to have the knowledge, and that's what my campaign is about.
Right, that is our exclusive interview with Zaki Ahmad on this episode of The Issue with Dan Korda. Thank you so much for listening. As always, would love to hear what you thought of everything that was discussed. Firstly, of Zaki, and whether you think he'd be a good member of parliament, a useful member of parliament, whether his, like, you know, what he stands for is worthwhile. But also, having heard all of this, whether you think that independent candidacies is a good idea or a waste of time, whether your position has changed through listening to this interview. Thank you so much for listening. We'll chat to you again on Thursday, hopefully with news. The news that certainly our team is waiting for very, very anxiously and nervously about what we were doing last week and still doing this week. We'll see. We'll see. We'll let you know. Have a beautiful, beautiful week.